Chapter 33. I clutched the pack to my chest as the door closed, and I was struck again by the overwhelming scent of lemons, which then shifted slowly to cinnamon. The two guards made it to the door, and one rapped on the shuttle window. Kuna pressed a button on a control panel, and the window descended.
"Minister Kuna," one asked, "we're supposed to search everyone."
"I doubt those orders include heads of departments, soldier," Kuna said, then hit the button again, closing the window. They gestured to the pilot. The shuttle took off, then left the bay, flying toward the city proper. The moment we got outside of the weights and measures, a chipper voice spoke in my ear.
"Spencer," Embot said, "how did it go? Did the drone work? I can sense its signal with you. You recovered it."
I tapped out on my bracelet. "Not now." Kuna laced their fingers, then finally made a relieved gesture with two of them.
"No call to return," they said. "We're in luck. My authority was enough to not be questioned."
Then they held out their hand, waving for me to surrender the pack. I refused, pulling it closer.
"Vapor?" Kuna asked.
"It's a drone," said the familiar, disembodied voice. "She was actually quite clever in how she retrieved it, as she shot off its weapon first. It will be days before anyone puts together that the remaining debris only includes pieces of a destructor pistol."
I tried glaring at Vapor, which was hard because I didn't exactly know where she was. Kuna reached into their pocket and unfolded a sheet of paper. They held it out to me, and I narrowed my eyes, regarding it with suspicion. Finally, I took one careful hand off my pack and accepted the paper.
"What does it say?" Embot asked. "Spencer, I'm having trouble following this conversation."
I didn't dare respond to him as I pulled off my pin and held it to the paper, getting a translation. It was a list of communications? The short messages were dated in order, starting about a week ago. 1001.17. "Minister Kuna, while we respect your willingness to communicate and acknowledge the relative strength of the superiority, we cannot release private information about our messenger." 1001.23. "After continued analysis of the brief messages sent to us via our emissary, Alanik, we of the Unity of Erdale are concerned for her safety. We have no plans to send further pilots to you." 1001.28. "After continued suspicion concerning our messenger's safety, we must cut off communication with you and the superiority until such time as she returns to us." A cold chill ran down my spine. Kuna was in communication with the people on Alanik's home planet. Embot and I had talked to them a few times after our first message, trying to play for time. It looked like they'd decided to step away from the problem entirely by ignoring us both.
"Your people are obviously stalling for you," Kuna said. "I can see it clearly now. The Erdale never intended to join the superiority, did they? You are a spy, sent here exclusively to steal hyperdrive technology."
It took a moment for that to sink in. Kuna didn't know I was human. They thought I was a spy for Alanik's people. And scud, it sure did look like that from Kuna's perspective.
"What I can't figure out," Kuna said, "is why you would risk so much, considering that you already obviously know the secret. Clearly, your people know not just how to use a cytonic like you as a hyperdrive, but have created a secondary method, the same one we use."
"What?" I opened my mouth to say I had no idea what Kuna was talking about, but then, for once in my life, thought before I spoke. For some reason, Kuna thought I already had the secret. So, why not play along? I might not have trained for this, but I was the one who was here, and my people needed me to be more than I'd been before. "We couldn't be sure that your methods were the same as ours," I said. "We thought it worth the risk,
particularly once we realized I would have a chance to infiltrate superiority warships and secret projects.
You have been playing me all along, Kuna said. You now know about the weapon, the location of our training maze, the infighting among our departments. I would be impressed if I weren't so angry.
Wisest choice on my part seemed to be silence. Outside the window, we passed into a part of town with grand buildings, built with domes and large gardens. The government quarter? I was pretty sure that was where we were. The shuttle landed beside a large rectangular building, one with few windows, more austere and grim than the others nearby. Kuna held out their hand again toward my pack. I realized that I didn't have much choice. I was unarmed and in their power. The only thing I had going for me was the fact that Kuna, remarkably, thought that I knew what I was doing. I held up the pack. I don't need it anymore, I said. This conversation was confirmation enough. Kuna took it anyway, then fished out the drone and looked it over.
One of our own, they said. A modified cleaning drone? These are impressive security devices attached to it. I didn't know your people had access to this kind of technology.
Kuna looked toward the place where Vapor hung.
That looks like Figment technology, Vapor said softly. The kind that was forbidden us after the war. I've seen old ships with those markings on them.
Figment technology? Embot? I said nothing, though my heart skipped a beat when Kuna fished in the shuttle armrest for a cord, then connected the drone's memory to a monitor on the back of the seat in front of us. Trying to keep my voice calm, I spoke. Drone, authorize playback of video starting from the moment I turned you on.
Confirmed,
the drone said.
AI? Kuna asked, baring their teeth in a look of shock.
Not self-aware, AI, I said quickly. Just a basic program that can follow orders.
Still, so dangerous.
The screen turned on, displaying a view of me wearing Alanik's face in the stall of the bathroom. Fast forward, I said, until 2 minutes before the hyperjump back to Starsight.
Confirmed.
I waited, hands clenching, as the view changed to what had to be the engine room. It looked surprisingly like an office. No hyperdrive apparatus that I could spot, only chairs and monitors with Dione's in uniform working them. I eyed Kuna. Were they really just going to let this play? My heartbeat increased as audio sounded from the recording.
All pilots are on board and personnel secured, Winzik's voice said over the room's PA. Engineering, you may proceed with the hyperjump back to Starsight Regional Space.
Understood, said one of the Dione's on the screen, a crimson, somewhat chubby individual. Preparing for hyperjump.
They hit a button. Nothing happened. Elsewhere, at that moment, I had been straining to use my cytonic senses to interfere. It was surreal, watching what had been happening a few rooms over from where I'd been waiting. Several of the Dione's looked agitated, speaking softly to one another. The chubby one hit the comm button.
Bridge, we have another hyperdrive malfunction. It's those cytonics on board. They're creating an unconscious interference with the hyperdrives.
Another Dione got up and walked to the wall. They opened a hatch there and pulled something out. I leaned forward, my breath catching as I saw what they removed. A metal cage. And inside of it, a bright yellow slug with blue spines.